The Fable and Folly Network is proud to support Inevitable Foundation, a nonprofit committed to breaking down barriers, keeping disabled creators from reaching their full commercial and creative potential. Inevitable Foundation recently launched Elevate for Podcasters, the first program ever created to amplify the voices and advance the careers of disabled podcasters. With support from Spotify, the program empowers disabled podcasters with $10,000 grants, which can be used for professional development, equipment, living expenses, accommodations, marketing, and IP acquisition, as well as mentorship and community building opportunities. Apply to Elevate for Podcasters today at inevitable.foundation/podcasters. Again, that's inevitable.foundation/podcasters. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Why, hello, 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 Orphans fans. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Today we're going to share an episode of our other podcast, Realms of Peril and Glory. This is the first episode of our Liminal London series that is set in a magical version of London. The Hidden City is full of werewolves, vampires, sorcerers, and the fey monarchs that rule over the city. This episode has four incredible people in it. First of all, you've got myself, Zachary Fortescom. I am running the game, yes, thank you very much. Hold the applause. You have Naomi Clark, who you will know from The Secret of St. Kilda, one of the incredible creatives behind that fabulous, fabulous show. Pip Gladwin, who you might know from The Orphans as our new Xavier, and also Wooden Overcoats as many delectable voices on that show. Furthermore, we've got Liz Campbell, who is one of the powerhouses behind the Veil campaign on Realms of Peril and Glory. This is a detective thriller story that takes place across four episodes. And if you enjoy the episode that you hear today, you can tune in to Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts, or check the link in the podcast description. Furthermore, if you enjoy that series, you can listen to all the other series of Realms of Peril and Glory, a really wonderful actual play series, and that includes the second Liminal London mystery that has cast members from Chapter and Multiverse, and The Orphans, and even more. So, if you enjoy what you hear today, then please go check out Realms of Peril and Glory. You can go to realmspod.com, that's realmspod.com, or check the link in the podcast description. Welcome one, and welcome all back to Realms of Peril and Glory. We are here on a magnificent day where we are recording our first ever official episode in person.
Woo! Ooh. Yeah. I'm touching them. Yes. I'm touching them with my hand.
Good Lord. It's already a fantastic start to the day. I am here with three wonderful players, and we are playing the first ever session, well, the first proper session of our Liminal game. Can I get from left to right?
Wait, your left or?
Here.
I wish I knew what my lefts and rights were.
Starting with you, going around clockwise, can you all introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Naomi Thinksit, the sad girl from under your bed. And I do things on the internet.
Incredible.
Hello, I'm Pip Gladwin. I don't live under your bed, but
I'd sure
I'm
like
open
to.
Open to negotiation.
But I'd love to. And I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Liz Campbell, and this is my actual flat. So
yep.
That's my bed, and I sleep on it.
And we're under it.
And they're under it.
Coming to you live from under Liz Campbell's bed.
It's me, Zachary Fortisgom, the MC of the concert running underneath Liz's bed every night. Pink Floyd are playing tonight. We are playing an incredible game called Liminal by Paul Michener. It is distributed by Modiphius, I believe, but I'm not 100% sure about that. You can find the game by going to...
under the bed.
Going under Liz's bed.
I keep my book.
Because that's where Liz left the book. You can find one copy of Liminal under Liz's bed.
And you'll have to fight for it.
Yeah.
You can find the game by going to modiphius.net. That's modiphius.net. And searching for the game Liminal. It is phenomenal. So.
Phenomenal Liminal.
We are playing a game set in the city that we all are currently in and live within. The city of London.
Dreams.
Or dreams. All right, hard left turn, guys. We are playing in the city of London. At the beginning of every episode, we are going to be giving a London fact. For those of you who might not be acquainted with this big smoke of ours, what is your fact, Naomi?
So one of the things about London that is very iconic is the red buses. But they were not always red. Ba, 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 ba. So what? They used to be just like the tube lines, and they were all different colors to indicate
Whoa.
Which route they went.
Whoa!
Yeah, wild.
That feels like there's too many lines for different colors.
There you is get now, maybe.
There is now.
Mm.
But in before 1907, which is when one of the companies was like, we're painting all of our buses red because we just want to be like iconic and sell a lot of postcards. And then that became standard.
Yeah, matches the phone boxes, see?
Yeah.
Now we know. Matches the phone boxes.
It allows you to do those black and white postcards where you just put the phone box and the bus in red.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of money, for me personally.
Good fact.
Without further ado, let's get started.
Theme tune.
Theme tune.
Liminal. It's so liminal.
It's phenomenal. It's liminal.
We begin, as many things do, in darkness. Then suddenly a train rockets past, an endless serpent of glowing cars hurtling faster and faster in an underground tunnel weaving its way through the city of London. Finally, the car comes to a stop, reaching its destination. The automated announcer calls out as the doors open.
This station is London Bridge. Change here for the Northern Line and National Rail services.
A hooded figure exits the carriage and begins to navigate its way through the labyrinthian underground station. There are any number of odd little quirks in this strange city. London has been built up, burned down, built up, burned down, and then built up again too many times. This city was constructed hundreds of different ways by thousands, if not millions, of people across multiple millennia. So when you wander down an anonymous alley, you'd be forgiven for missing something as mundane as a door. Your eyes would glide straight past it. It might leave your memory the moment it left your sight. But it is there. Despite what a robust set of enchantments say. The hooded figure has finally found their way out of the underground station and finds themselves in front of the door. Not only do they notice the door, but they stand up to it. They even have the nerve to knock. As their rhythmic coded knock ends, levers and locks slide open. As the door creaks open, huge bass thumps spill out into the alleyways along with the revelries of hundreds of intoxicated partygoers. Just beyond the door stands a figure, slender and lithe, eyes just too far apart. If you were there, you might be forgiven for thinking that you were looking at a lie, as though this person with their olive skin, piercing eyes, fine silks, and tight blonde braids was a falsehood. An elaborate art piece designed to distract you. Their smile shines bright with glistening white and perfectly straight teeth.
Ah, thank you for coming.
Would you like to come in? The hooded figure says nothing, looking the Fae up and down. The smile fades. Straight to business, then. Here. As if pulled from thin air, a package appears in the waiting hand of the creature, who offers it to the hooded figure. But before the figure can snatch the package, it is swiftly withdrawn. You are to take it to the estates. The figure holds back for a second, clearly nervous. The figure's voice echoes for the first time, croaky and shaky.
But what if... There will be no problems with the locals. Take it to the estate.
The figure stands for a second, clearly weighing up their choices. By all accounts, they knew they didn't have many. The Fae re-extends their arm, offering the package again. The figure reaches out their arm in return, hesitating for a moment before taking it. The package had no sooner left the Fae's hand than the door slams shut, locks clunking into place, and choking the sound of revelries within. The figure removes its hood, revealing the face of a boy, no older than 20, pockmarked and covered in pimples, frightened. He looks at the package, fearful for a moment. He quickly begins to open it, breaking the white plastic to reveal a brilliant scarlet powder beneath. A faint red glow fills the alley before the boy quickly covers the powder again, stuffing it in his bag. With one final glance to the door and a wish that he could forget it, the boy sets off back to the underground and towards the estate. The next morning, we find ourselves south of the River Thames, in a neighborhood known as Brixton, a vibrant place full of life, culture, and the relentless spirit of those who would continue to strive for a better life in this city. At the heart of Brixton is a place known as Windrush Square, and just off the square is a public library. There we find a woman, sorting books tediously into organized and neat piles. This is a woman who has landed a trial shift. A good paying job is within her grasp. Liz, who do we find?
You find Margaret Holt. She's pushing 30, kind of plainly dressed, long brown hair. Definitely sorting through the books in a kind of quite diligent way, trying to make a good impression.
Mm.
This mild-mannered librarian hides a secret.
No, she has slight build and kind of pleasant face.
Yeah.
But determined, really determined to be dealing with these books in a good way.
This squat woman comes up to you. She's got huge, like, rectangular glasses with, like, coke rims. She's got very curly afro with, like, gray hair. And she comes up to you and is like,
"Darling, how is it going?"
Oh yeah, it's good. I wasn't sure how you wanted them sorted, so I started doing it kind of, you know, by topic grouping, because I assumed the inside would be kind of like topic grouping.
Well, we do have the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. When we were studying, it was all like online,
yes,
and I just
newfangled technology and all that.
Yeah. I'm really happy to learn. So you, whatever I can do, I'm happy to pick
it
up.
Well, it was you know, wonderful to have you on a trial shift and all that, of course. But just wanted to let you know you have some visitors outside. A young man came in, asking for you.
I'm so sorry. It must be an emergency or something.
Of course.
I don't normally have friends that come around all the time.
Okay. If you go see them, of course, you know, we don't encourage social.
Yes. No. I'm really sorry. I this can be my break, and I'll be back as soon as I can, yes. I promise.
Of course, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
She kind of nods her head and walks away.
I smile kind of pleasantly, and then the minute her back is turned, I just kind of, you know, that moment of cringe and just run as quickly as I can to the door.
You run out the door, and as you come out these automatic front entrance, you see this large, stocky man with like curly gray and black hair, huge bulbous nose. He's got scars kind of like that, like dip down under his clothes. He's kind of just off fuming in a corner of Windrush Square. And you do see that there is a young gentleman who you know as Cyrus Obi, the second in command of your group, let's just say, who's standing expectantly, glances over at the fuming gentleman, who you also recognize, and then looks back at you knowingly.
You all right?
I approach kind of, you know, swiftly and try and keep my voice down. Guys, I'm in the middle of work.
We got bigger problem.
Right. What is it? Just tell me now.
We got something for you to do. Got to do it now.
This is my trial shift. I really need to be inside. Can this wait?
You can find another job if you need to. I'm sure we can hook you up with something if you're struggling.
It's fine. I can find my own jobs. I just... What is it?
The gentleman you're speaking to kind of just whistles. And then you see the stockier gentleman approaches you. He's like...
Thank you, Mags, for coming.
I mean, you came to me, but it's... No, it's fine. It's fine.
Look, we've, you ever heard of this thing going around our streets? It's called, Dragon's Breath. You heard of that?
Have I heard of that?
You've not.
No, is that... No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, look, it's, you know how I feel about drugs coming in on our streets, and, we've suddenly got all this shit hanging about, and, I need someone to look after it, all right? Because I have had fucking enough of it. All right, boss, all right. It's not her fault, she's not been doing it. I know, but... Look, Mags, we got to sort out what's what with this. We've got all this fucking...
And he kind of pulls out, he really wrenches out this kind of baggie of, like, red powder.
This shit.
I try and stand to block the view from the inevitable public in Windrush Square.
Yes.
Because these people clearly don't have a sense of...
Not at all.
...public perception, but I do. Right, yeah, okay. Look, I get it. I get you're frustrated. I just... It's my trial shift. I really... Can this please wait just like a couple of hours?
This is fucking urgent. Do you understand that? We've got to clear this shit out. This could be any number of things. The fact this is coming in here like this, fast. Wasn't here last week, suddenly. Oh, there you go. We've got 10, 15 fucking people coming in, all high off this shit. And the society cannot be having that.
I understand. Is Isaac free? Is...
No, Isaac is not free. We've got him on something else. It's you, all right? We need you to sort it out. We've had an agreement. We've had a talk. We've got someone we need you to go meet up with. He's starting soon. Name's Declan, up near Camden.
Look, I know... I know you don't think I'm committed to...
No!
Look, I...
Why would we think that? Because you're, prioritising this fucking library over your fucking pack. Is that why I might think you're not dedicated? Boss, you gotta take it easy, alright? Take it easy. Come on. You know me. You know I wouldn't ask if it wasn't urgent. I get it. But you can talk to them. Say your nan fucking died or something. Alright?
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, of course. I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, just trying to balance everything. Yeah,
I know. I know it's tough, but look, it's important.
Yeah. Can I have 5 minutes just go inside to
talk to them? You tell you what, you take this.
Hands you the drugs.
Stuff it really quickly into my jacket.
You take that. You go find this Declan.
He gives you a slip of paper with his address.
Yeah.
Go find this Declan. Sort you out, all right?
Yeah, okay.
You call us if anything comes up, all right?
I will.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mag's kind of, you know, you can see her shoulders sink a bit, but she'll turn around and go back into the library.
You hop back into the library, and what do you say as the same librarian here you're speaking to is at the desk looking kind of inquisitively at you?
You're up, darling?
Yeah, I'm really sorry. It does seem to be an emergency. I thought it was, you know, weird for people to be disturbing me at work, and we've got a friend of ours has been in an accident. I don't really know, but I need to go. I'm so sorry. I've really enjoyed the couple of hours that I've managed to spend here, and is there any way that we could maybe reschedule this shift or something like that?
Can you roll me charm?
First dice roll of the game. Session.
First roll of the game.
Woo! Setting the tone.
Oh, damn.
I just rolled 2 sixes on the dice.
Oh, pyong, pyong. Holy shit.
You get the job.
Yeah, plus 2 charms. So.
She kisses and you full on the mouth.
Full tongue kiss.
This is...
No, you know, of course, darling. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm
no,
I'm
look,
like
it's
so
all
sorry.
Right. Look, we'll reschedule this. Done a good job so far. Look, the job's here for you if you want it, but if you got to go, you got to go, so just go.
Okay. Yeah. Right, I'll
yes,
as soon as I can. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm sorry, this I think Mags is about to say this won't happen again, and then kind of there's just a moment and she holds that part back.
We'll see you later, all right?
Yeah, okay, thank you so much.
She's like, this is a library. It's not like...
It's not that...
The books
it ain't
will
that
still
deep.
Be here, baby. Yeah.
No one's come in 3 weeks.
As Margaret walks out of the door, she just quietly hear the librarian go, I love you.
Come back to me.
Oh, she never
two
left.
Sixes get you.
Yeah, shit. I don't know. I don't know if you would have had that job had you not rolled 2 sixes.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's
all
amazing.
Downhill from here, Liz.
Well, you make your way presumably to the tube,
yep,
to find this Declan character.
Yep.
And as
Victoria Line to Northern up to Camden Town.
Precisely, exactly the route. So as you jump on the tube, we are going to move over to, is it Whitechapel or Tower Hill?
Whitechapel.
Yes, we move over to Whitechapel, an eastern area of London, the East End, one could say.
One could say.
One not.
No one ever has. But,
all right, I'm trying to get fancy for the folks at home who don't know.
I think
know
you're
London.
In the wrong character, yeah, to be doing that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair.
Whitechapel doesn't get fancy for anyone.
It got fancy once, and 3 women died.
Oh, ooh.
Dark.
It's not like it's too soon. It was
true.
That was Jack the Ripper for anyone at home. Yes, we travel eastward to the east end of London, Whitechapel, on an estate where there are many different buildings for those less well off to reside.
People who shop at Aldi and Lidl.
For those who don't know, those are discount supermarkets. And
England is very heavily stratified by supermarket.
That's very true.
So it's not a Waitrose or an M&S, well, which is upper middle class.
Have an incredible Lidl nearby with a bakery and everything.
It's a good Lidl.
Yeah.
They do trainers in there now.
Yeah, exactly. Shoes, for those of you who don't know.
No, personal little trainers.
Get a gym in the middle aisle.
Get ripped. You buy a tent, get ripped.
And we travel into one of the windows in one of these estate blocks where we find a young gentleman nearly old enough to drink in this country, but not quite there yet.
I think Monty's kind of got that look where you're like, he could be 17 or he could be 24. Mm. It's really hard to tell.
Well, Monty...
The legal drinking age, of course, yes. For the folks at home being 18.
Yes, the legal drinking age.
The actual
for those
drinking age being about 13 and
13,
a half.
I'd say.
Yeah. It is quite early in the morning for Monty, I think. It's not... I don't see Monty as an early riser.
No.
So, Monty, you wake up. Who is in your room? Because you share quite a significant amount of your space.
So, Monty is the youngest of seven.
Yeah.
As well as all the cousins and that. So, a lot of them moved out, but this room has got, like, I want to say, like, four or five beds in it.
Yeah.
So, there's three bunk bed tower on one side, two bunk bed. I'm lucky enough to be in the two bunk bed.
Yeah, very lucky.
And because I'm the youngest, I have the top bunk.
Yes, very nice. So you wake up. I imagine that this bunk bed was built for children. And so you're kind of, I don't know, is Monty particularly gangly?
He's hella gangly.
Yeah, so your legs are just kind of off the edge of this bed.
Yeah.
You hear your little cousins running around like different parts of the flat, the room. And you do hear a rapping on the door of like little knuckles, tiny little baby knuckles.
Who's throwing baby knuckles around?
It's a baby with a knuckle duster.
This has gotten really dark really quickly, Zach. I don't like it.
Tiny little hands are knocking on the door.
I know. I'm just...
Yeah.
Just enjoyed the image.
Yeah,
baby
good.
Knuckles.
Just throwing... Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Come on in.
I can't reach the door. I can't reach the handle.
If you can't reach it, you know why. It's because it's not for you, is it?
Can I tell... none wanted to see you.
All right. Now, have you had your breakfast?
Yeah, porridge.
You had porridge?
Yeah.
You're seven. You should be using the bleeding stove. That's for 8-year-olds and up. You know the fucking rules.
I'll use the microwave.
All right, did you leave the fork in?
Yeah, it blew up.
Yeah,
you hear a smoke alarm going off. Yeah. Yeah, you're awoken by the smoke alarm.
Yeah, I roll out of bed. I'm already in my clothes.
Yeah.
Throw on a pair of trainers, which are shoes, by the way.
we'll learn the North Americans
eventually.
We're
going to do it every time, guys.
Yeah.
And I rock up to the kitchen, and there's like, most of the people in here are like, knee level and below.
Yeah.
The Tweenies is playing on CBBC, and it is really, it's no bueno. It's really loud.
Can you describe the Tweenies?
No.
Really beyond description.
You anticipated that. Cool.
We're not playing Call of Cthulhu, is that? Yeah. How can one describe such eldritch horror?
I mean, in all fairness, I feel like children's TV in the UK like really leans into that eldritch horror. I was trying to explain Bagpuss to someone the other day, and I was like,
why?
This is ostensibly a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Bagpuss is easier to explain than the Tweenies. At least there's a cat, he lives in a shop, talks to other toys. That's it, right? Like, that's Bagpuss, more or less. Mm.
But haunted.
Yeah, it's kind of haunted.
Eats bones.
Magic roundabout.
The Tweenies is just like, you've dropped a lot of acid, and it's not going well.
I really wonder if this show needs, like, a bonus show where we take all the UK-related tangents and just drop them into.
Yeah. It's an educational podcast.
Just get James to come on and be like, for the people at home.
Yeah.
There's kids that are watching CBeebies. I'm putting toast in the toaster, pouring orange juice and making Ribena.
There's about three or four of them just kind of like eagerly, like hands in the air, like cloying for this food that you're making.
Yeah, and I pick up a child who's in a nappy and I wipe their face and then just like put them back down on the floor and then leave.
It's the noisiest home.
Yeah, this is the noisiest home in England. And
it's an apartment box, so it's like a concrete walkway with a metal railing. I think I'm probably about third floor.
Yeah.
But I drop over the railing and then down to the next floor and then up.
Parkour.
Do I have skills in parkour? No, fuck me. And I walk down to Nana Barker's flat.
Yeah.
And I think the door is already open. I think Nana is one of those people where the door is just open
Your
at all times.
Your grandmother, Nana Barker, is the kind of woman that can leave her door unlocked, not out of fear that... Not thinking that someone won't break in, but knowing that if someone tried to break in, she would not be the injured party in that scenario.
Yeah. I think Nana Barker's flat is the kind of one where the neighborhood kids who are not of the Barker clan kind of give it a 6 to 12 foot sort of radius.
Yeah, very.
I think they probably would call her Old Witch Barker. Like, that's kind of the vibe. She's
like if you're sprinting, making loads of noise on the walkway, once you get to that doorway, it's like, pass slowly, quietly, respectfully.
And then you keep running. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the one. Your grandmother's flat, actually, very nice. It has... It's just slightly nicer than the rest of the flats. I don't know how she was
I think
able.
It's the end flat.
Yeah.
And it has slightly more room. For some reason, it's like the building is slightly longer, but only in her flat.
Yeah, and she actually has a little balcony.
Yeah, it's sick as hell.
It is sick. And she sat kind of in her usual position when it's not raining, is she's out in the balcony with a little cup of tea. You do notice as you walk into her flat, it is filled with kind of, you get that usual scent of like, powerful herbs and spices and
KFC.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the seven herbs and spices. More ritualistic, more kind of these are artifacts, and you see scrolls, and you see all of the necessities that a very powerful magical user would have in their abode. But you do see that she is just sat kind of with her little cup of tea, smiles at you at the door.
Hello, darling. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Kids are good.
Yes.
And then you see just she has a bird just on her hand. It's a raven, actually.
I've got a little bird.
In my mind, you were like, she has this bird, and she just like puts it in her mouth and just rips it off.
Holy shit!
Like, I was like, this is about to go fucking metal as well. My brain was like clearly somewhere
different
else.
Different place,
morning.
Yeah.
I've got a little bird, darling.
It's big.
I'm just like, oh, careful, shit on everything.
It might. It has already shit all over everything.
Yeah, alright.
In a metaphorical sense.
I've already gone to the kitchen. I've got a kitchen roll, like, in my hand. I'm like, do I. Is this.
Roll me a. what is like.
Shit
the-
check?
Yeah, roll me a poo check. No.
Well, that's a five.
No. No. What is like the arcana here?
Lore?
Yeah, roll me a lore check.
I got a five or a four. That's a nine, baby.
Oh, that's nice. Not bad at all. So you realize pretty quickly, and you know that this is not an unusual thing for your grandmother to be doing.
She puts birds in her mouth all the time.
It's birds going in is fine, but birds coming out, that's when you know that shit is hitting the fan.
This is a young man that she has transformed into a bird.
Is that Jem?
No, not Jem this time. No, I found this fella. I tried to sell some of your cousin's drugs.
Look, it's rough around here. I think he's probably learned his lesson.
I don't think he has.
And she just snaps her fingers, and the boy transforms back into a boy. He's like,
"Oi, bitch, what you doing? You fucking mug!"
I think that reflexively at hearing someone call Nanobaka a bitch. I think that Monty just like spreads himself back against the wall, like just like.
Oi, what you got, mate? What the fuck?
Yeah, no, you were right. Turning back, you're a bird.
Yo, fucking
spits in her face and actually like.
I don't think the spit would ever hit Nanobaka's face. I think it gets within like a millimeter and then just like. Like off
you do see that it just like stops and then Neo redirects back at him and just hits him in the face. Oi, what the fuck,
darling?
And then you see she like her eyes kind of turn this kind of purpley shimmery color, and you see his in turn.
Darling, you're going to tell my lovely little grandson here all about what the fuck you were doing.
And he just turns to you and is like,
"Oh yeah, what can I tell you, mate?
What you selling? Oh, where's it coming from? Why you call my nana a bitch?"
Oh yeah, I got this.
And he pulls out this kind of like bag of.
Yeah, I snatch it between two fingers and I'm like, this is not something that I have seen.
Nope.
And I have seen many things in this neighborhood.
He's called Dragon's Breath, I think. I'm not sure, it's new.
I think I open it and I'm just like...
Take a good sniff. Yeah,
I just take
big
a
old
little,
sniff.
Little song. I'm going to lick my finger and dip it. What happens?
Do you know what? I really was like... The thing that's going to happen is they're going to be like too conservative to try it, or one of them is just going to go fucking nuts and down it.
This is like a middle ground.
And this is a middle ground.
I'm surprised that you weren't immediately like, Gnome is the one who's going to...
Well, I wasn't going to say that out loud. That was in my head. I was
absolutely
like,
what he meant. That was blind.
Yeah, that is what I meant. Yeah. Roll me. Yeah, let's go athletics.
It doesn't matter because I don't have any scores. So that'll be a hot 10, baby.
Yes, you absolutely, you feel the effects of this, and you feel that it is hallucinogenic in a way. If you allowed it to, it could carry you away to some funky places. But
take me to Funky Town.
What you also feel is that this is, if you took enough of this, you would be very strong. Very, very strong, as well as being, you get a sense of like,
I would be out of my gourd.
You'd be
quite
off
powerful.
You'd be off your nut and quite powerful.
Mm.
You might also you get a feeling as it tingles through you, like you get a flash. Like this is the only way that it affects you is you get a red hot flash of anger that just streaks across your brain. Yeah, you see red for a moment.
I would like to see red for a moment in an active way because that's funnier. I would like to grab the boy by the throat and pin him up against the side of the balcony.
Yeah, roll me in athletics again, please.
Fucking have any points in that, so we'll see how it goes. 8.
8. Yeah, absolutely. You meet that. Yeah, you pin this boy up against as like this rage courses through you. Your eyes have actually turned a bright shade of red for a second. He's like,
oi, mate, fuck off. Get off me. What are you doing?
I take a sheet of kitchen roll and I stuff it in his gob because he's talking too much. And then I look at Nanobaka and I'm like,
this is new.
Yes, I've not seen it before and it's rather troublesome.
Oh shit, I take the sopping thing back out and I'm like, where'd you get it? If it's Gordy on the corner, you should have fucking known.
Oh, mate, look, I picked it up out of the Catacomb Club.
That's nasty.
Yeah, why? You fucking living, mate.
I mean...
How you pay your fucking bills, you kid?
I steal it from tourists, like a respectable member of society. Turn it back into a bird.
Nana Barker turns him to a bird.
Do you need it for anything else, darling?
No, I guess I'll get my fucking nice trackies on, innit?
Hang on, darling. I have one more thing for you. Just give me a moment. I don't like him. I think he might deserve something quite nasty.
And she just flicks.
Liz is miming eating this bird. And honestly, I'm like, I'm into it.
And she flicks.
So birdvore is where we've started. Yeah? That's where we're at.
I can't believe you said that the word that means that we all have to pack up the mics and go home.
Good night, everyone.
You said Vore. That's the word. Ding, ding, ding. The podcast is over.
She flicks the beak of the bird, and you see that it kind of like twitches for a moment and begins to just like it jets away like fast as all hell. And you see it's headed straight towards the Tower of London.
And she says, he'll join the lot. We'll keep him there unless we need him again.
So here's an interesting London fact is if the birds leave the Tower of London, England will fall.
Yeah. And so your nan is single-handedly replenishing the stock of birds.
And you know
with
what?
With yobs.
With yobs, yeah.
My nan is doing the wrong fucking thing. It's about time.
Bring it down. Bring it down.
Right, darling, I do have one more thing for you. I had a little agreement with, you don't need to know who with, all right?
Yeah, I think that's probably best,
but we've
it?
Got someone who can help you with this, all right? Name's Declan, all right?
It's a stupid fuck. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, hey, what have I told you about respect? About respecting others? You gotta sort that out.
If you don't have respect,
yeah,
I'll turn you into a bird and I'll bite your fucking head off.
Exactly fucking right.
And I fucking deserve it.
Exactly. So you watch your mouth, all right? He's a friend. He's helping us out.
Yeah.
Well, he's not. He's a soon-to-be friend. We haven't met him yet, but...
too complicated. It's fine.
It's fine. He's fine enough. But look, he's going to help you out with this. We're going to sort it out.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah?
Thanks, Nan. And I give my Nan a peck on the cheek. Oh. And I squeeze her hand and then I fuck off.
Thank you, love. You're a doll.
And she also gives you the address that you're headed to in Camden.
I figure she'll just WhatsApp it to me.
I don't have it. What is an app, darling?
No, WhatsApp. WhatsApp is the name of a bird. It used to be a small. Used to be a small boy on the corner, and she just like grabs a sparrow by the neck and like yeets it out the window. And it spits out addresses for me. And
I do like the idea that she communicates exclusively with birds. Yeah. You can be fairly certain those birds used to be people.
Yeah, 100%. how do you head over to Camden?
I think I'd probably steal a bar spike. That's what I fucking do.
That is the most East London thing I've ever heard.
Can we, I don't know, can we change that? Because I just, it would be super nice if this, like, fictional version of London that we're playing, and if just, like, maybe if Boris Johnson just didn't exist.
Yeah,
I'd love to play it.
The Bruce bikes.
Yeah,
it could be a different awful politician. Yeah. But
no,
like,
I think
it's a Tony Blair bike.
Yeah, we're all like, no. I steal one of the red ghost bikes.
Yep.
That exist in the liminal space, and are powered by ghosts.
So. Canon okay. Now.
Zach, you don't have to stand for this.
But he will. He'll take it and he'll like it.
Yeah, you grab a red ghost bike. No, actually, I'll say that. Yeah, I'll say Boris bikes are also part of the liminal space. For those at home, Boris bikes are a real feature in London where you can just grab a bike and rent it and then return it to another docking station.
If you're an idiot, or you can fucking steal them.
Yeah, they were not actually invented by Boris Johnson. It was his predecessor.
No, but he rode bikes around the city a lot, which was like a whole thing.
That was his whole thing. He did that right up until he was fucking prime minister, Jesus. Anyways, excellent. So you grab a Boris ghost bike and you ride your way over to Camden from East London.
Yeah.
Incredible. We are now going to travel up through the Northern Line and out to Camden, where one Declan Buchanan is...
Oh shit, you're Declan.
Fuck. Yeah, that's me.
I feel bad now.
What a stupid name.
Oh, you picked him.
It's kind of a cool name. It's cool. Cool name for a cool guy.
We arrive in Camden full of markets and incredible artistic culture. This northern area of London.
Sick on the streets, yeah.
Yeah, and you can buy juggling equipment from any corner store.
This game is full of London facts.
And you can get a stick and poke tattoo just if you open your eyes.
Yeah. The real success is avoiding it.
Yeah. Mm.
And just off a side street, we head up into the offices of what is the name of the business that resides in this office?
It's a really good question. Tingle. I don't think Declan has come up with like a snappy name for his, mostly given that it's not a business that employs more than one person.
Sure.
That person being Declan Buchanan. So I think it's just the offices of Declan Buchanan, PI.
And we arrive into what I presume is an empty office. Mm-hmm. And where do we eventually settle and find one Declan Buchanan? I presume a waking for the day?
Sure. We have the empty office just sort of off of the main door, and then through a side door there's a very small flat, effectively. A bed and a small sofa and a TV and a little kitchenette and a toilet and a shower just off that, as much of that in one room as possible, really. And we find Declan sort of sat on the sofa, and he's kind of arms outstretched and his head back, just kind of snoring, just in like joggers and a dressing gown. And there's empty bottles and cans on the table. There's half smoked cigarettes in an ashtray.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just kind of snoring. Declan is in his late 30s, early 40s. Mm. And he's quite a tall but quite skinny man. Could even say gaunt. He clearly doesn't have a particularly good diet. So almost permanently 5 o'clock shadowed, like kind of like dirty blonde hair, quite short. Because it is first thing in the morning for him, at least, the most sort of noticeable and prominent thing about this man is the fact that he has quite a large pair of antlers growing out of his forehead.
Oh, that you buried the lead with that one, my friend.
Yeah. Oh. Like, and as he's sort of with his head back, they're kind of curling up, and like as he's snoring, I presume scraping the wall.
There's like gashes in the plasterboard. Yeah. I presume those weren't there when you went to bed.
They were not. No.
No.
But every morning,
there they are.
They grow back.
You are jostled awake when you hear a rap on the door and a voice on the other end calling,
"Hello, I'm looking for Mr. Buchanan."
Oh, Christ. What? Who is it?
My name is Yamina Masood. I'm looking to hire your services.
You're gonna need a minute. Hold on.
That's fine. We're happy to wait.
Get up, and I gotta get rid of these antlers as quickly as possible. I think Declan like staggers, still barely dressed, into the bathroom.
Yeah,
and we don't follow him with our imaginary camera.
Hear the whine of a power tool.
we do actually. Yeah, we hear the sound of an angle grinder.
yeah, absolutely.
And some door shuts.
Yeah,
and the sound of somebody who's probably got something wooden between their teeth.
Yeah,
and just this kind of as I cut really roughly and quite unpleasantly, cut off these antlers. Come out of the bathroom.
What do you do with all the antlers at the end of the day?
Is the bath just full of antlers?
It's a good question, and I hadn't really. I think just in the recycling.
Yeah. God, there is some waste processor out there who is so confused. Who is throwing away all these antlers, and where are they getting them
from? Someone's killing a lot of deer. Someone in London.
In Richmond Park.
Yeah. And why are they always hoard? They're never.
I mean, I probably know a guy in the hidden world who wants antlers, and I'm like, look, mate, I can get you a fresh pair every morning.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's how I'm paying my rent.
That
at the moment.
Is how you're paying your rent. Oh, wow.
I've got an Etsy shop. I sell antlers.
There's an app for that.
You absolutely could sell antlers on
Etsy. Yeah, right?
That is, I know.
Yeah.
And you would do well.
Yeah. Maybe that's...
Pubs of London are like full of antlers.
Full of antlers. Full of
They're
the,
all
full
Declans.
Of the antlers of a man.
Yes. Mantlers. Yes.
So, I remove the newest pair and just kind of, you know, chuck them in the sink and... grab a cap as I'm going out,
yeah.
Like struggling into a t-shirt, kind of pull it down. It's you know, it's a jagged job I've had to do, so the
yeah.
cap's like looks a bit weird,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I managed
yeah.
to kind of pull it down over them, and I'll go to the door and with the chain still on, just kind of open it and just peek like one bloodshot eye out.
So what you see is this very tall woman in like a floral suit. Like a business suit, looks very serious. Kind of, she's how tall are you?
I'd say Declan's about just under 6.
I think she's slightly taller than you, and she kind of looks down at you. Is like,
hello, can I come in?
Why?
Oh, I'd like to hire your services.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Hold on. I'll shut the door. Fumble
this is
with the chain.
Also, how I open the door.
Open the door and kind of awkwardly stand. Come in.
Thank you. Lovely place.
Oh, it's dusty.
Oh. Oh, this office has just been a space that I walk through rather than spend any time in.
You have
in.
A lovely office.
Antler dust everywhere.
Antler dust everywhere, just in the air.
You having a good morning?
Sure. How can I please have a seat?
Yes, I will.
And she kind of like bats the sofa a bit and then sets her coat down and sits on the coat and does not lean back.
That's fine. Don't blame her.
She's so rude.
Shall I cut to the chase?
That would be great.
Fantastic. I'm a lawyer. My name is Yumina Masood. And my client would like to hire your services.
All right. And who's your client?
I cannot tell you that.
Okay.
But I can assure you that incredible monetary value will be ascribed to your work.
And what work would that be?
Oh, your normal investigative skills. You are a private investigator, are you not? Licensed and former P Division, I've been told.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'll just take the cap off and like
oh,
throw it to the side.
Yes, I did hear about the antlers.
Mm-hmm.
That's rough fate.
Sure.
It's the Queen of Hyde Park, wasn't it?
Do I get to ask what this? I can't know
you
who.
Can ask me what you're going to be doing, and you I can tell what would you like to know? I can't tell you the name of the individual or organization who has hired my services, but I could tell you, I don't know. What would you like to know outside of
the
that?
Job?
Oh, yes. Well, we have had, we have some affiliations with organizations, you know, the Mercury Collegium, the Lambeth Cooperative Society. They are both experiencing some trouble with a drug that has recently popped up in their respective areas called Dragon's Breath. And we're rather wondering if you might be interested in tracking down its origins, as it has popped up on the streets with very an idea of where they came from.
Hmm. Would I have heard anything about Dragon's Breath?
Roll me a lore check.
I'm a pretty...
Yeah, you, yeah.
You're like, nah, I love drugs.
I'm a pretty awful human being at the moment. Like,
yeah,
I'm not spending time in particularly pleasant places or company at the moment.
Roll me like a lore check. See what you get.
Cool. 2d6 plus 2. Yeah, that's a 10, 11, 12.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that is what I said it at. You've heard a bit. So you've heard that there's this new thing going around on the streets that P Division hasn't really been able to crack down on yet. P Division being the police for the magical world of London.
Pig Division.
Prick Division, more like.
Whoa.
P Division haven't really been able to crack down on it yet. You do know that the where you've heard it coming from is the Catacomb Club. That is seems to be the primary place where that drug is being taken, bought, presumably then sold. The Catacomb Club is a very famous club in London Bridge that is run by a member of the Fae Court of the King of Wimbledon Common. And you know that the proprietor of the Catacomb Club is called Vance Karma. You haven't had one-on-one interaction with Vance, but you've heard that Vance is a pretty slippery fellow, and the Catacomb Club is his kind of like... He is the... He runs the area like his own little duchy within the court.
Right.
And it is very difficult to for P Division to even get in because of how tied up it is with the Fae Courts.
Right.
Do we access Catacomb Club via a Chinese restaurant and there's a door in the back? Because that's 100% what I'm getting.
You'll find out.
You can do that in Soho. There's some pretty nice cocktail bars.
It is in London Bridge. Yeah. It is in London Bridge.
Which for our listeners is a bridge and also a place.
Yes. Yeah. It's not in the bridge. It's in the
it's
area.
Not in the bridge.
Well, it might be in the bridge.
Could be in the bridge.
Who knows?
That'd be cool, right? Let's find out, guys.
What's most important is it's not Tower Bridge, which is the pretty one. London Bridge is the
different
ugly
bridge.
One.
London Bridge is just... No, it's not even ugly. It's just there.
Insignificant.
Well, there was an American businessman who decided to bought London Bridge and then was quite upset to find out that it was not, in fact... A great tourist destination, but concrete.
A London fact! that is what you know about Dragon's Breath, the drug.
Fantastic. Just to get the name of the guy running the Catacomb Club was
Vance Karma.
Karma, chameleon.
This
is all copyrighted. As your lawyer, I need you to desist immediately.
Yeah, that's what you know about the drug Dragon's Breath.
And... What exactly does your client want?
We want to know where it's come from. We'd like to know who's distributing it. We'd like to know... Well, really, if I'm honest with you, we would very much like for you to assist the Lambeth Cooperative Society in clearing it out of their streets, because it has recently... It's been present in Tower Hill. It's been present in Bromley, those sorts of areas, but not in Lambeth.
Bromley. People in Bromley getting fucked up.
but not
in Bromley, that's probably fair.
But not in Lambeth. And they tend to have a rather strict view, that wolf pack, about drugs and controlling their area.
Yeah, point me to a wolf pack that doesn't have strict views on something. Sure. Okay, and how much am I being paid?
£10,000.
All right, well, it's a pleasure doing business with you.
You'll receive it at the end. Yeah. You'll receive the first half now, £5,000 in advance, for expenses and the like, and the other half later. Yes?
Great. Sounds
fantastic.
Good.
There are going to be two individuals arriving in about...
She checks her watch.
About 15 minutes, who are going to be assisting you with this case. They are both a member of the Mercury Collegium and the Lambeth Cooperative Society.
Great. Wizard and a werewolf. I'd better have a shower. You can let yourself out.
Very well. It is a pleasure doing business with you, and I'll be seeing you, Mr. Buchanan.
But Declan's just like, bye? I already said goodbye.
Yamina lets herself out and shuts the door behind her.
Declan does have a shower.
Yes.
Declan has a shower. Declan files the what was left of the very hurriedly sawn off antlers on his head. He files those down. He's got a big metal file just in the mirror. Just it's awful. And yes, there are nerve endings in there. It's no good. Get dressed.
Hi, this is Josh, creative lead at Hope Lab. Thank you for listening. At Hope Lab, we advance solutions that support, affirm, and empower young people, and we just launched a product called iMe. a free digital tool that supports and helps LGBTQ plus teens explore and affirm their identity and learn helpful ways to cope with stress. You can find it at www.imi.guide. From the hundreds of queer young people who helped create IME, we know that many young people desire a world that is more accepting, inclusive, and just. IME helps provide a space for queer teens, especially those with intersectional identities, to feel supported and affirmed. As Renee, a 15-year-old from Mississippi, told us, IME is for queer people, by queer people, to help everyone. Visit www.imi.guide or share the link with someone you know. And follow at imeguide on Instagram for supportive, fun, and queer IME-related content. Thanks for listening.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Mags, you have found yourself at the front door where the card is pointing you towards.
Right. Well, I kind of look at the card, clock the address, look at the sign. I was just told Declan in Camden, so
yeah.
I see the offices of Declan Buchanan PI. There's kind of a little kind of moment of an eyebrow raise. And I'll ring the bell.
Bing bong. Like a really jarring, like buzzer sound to open the door downstairs. I'll sort of, as you're coming up the stairs, one of those really narrow, unpleasant staircases where you're like, you know, my shoulders are kind of brushing both walls.
Yeah, if you were wearing like any sort of bag, you would not be able to get up here. Yeah.
I'll open the front door, and sort of leave it open, and then walk back into the room.
Hi, I'm looking for a Declan.
Yep, come in. And I'm sort of sat at the table trying to look like, but I don't have any of my stuff here because I haven't had a case in like months. Yeah. Look up at, all right, you'll be the werewolf then?
Yeah.
Lambeth Cooperative Society, right?
I guess you know Owen?
No. Who's Owen?
I think, as I step in as well, like, I mean, this is me adding canon, so you can veto this, Zach, but, like, I assume as a dog, I have a pretty decent sense of smell, and I manage just to kind of a step in and just, like, smelling this man's lifestyle.
Woo!
Just a lot
Roll me an awareness check, see what you sniff.
Oh boy, that's a lifestyle.
Do a bonus to danger.
That's a spicy lifestyle.
Come on, Liz. That's double sixes again.
You,
I know everything about him.
You smell, both coming from the bathroom and coming from this man's head,
despair.
The distinct scent of the velvet of deer horns that you've smelled before when you lived in America and you used to hunt deer as with your werewolf buddies in America.
As I speak to Declan, I do that thing where I'm not actually looking at him in the eye. I'm just looking at, have you got your hat back on?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the space where his hat is, just kind of wondering. Sorry.
I was told to expect you and another wizard, I think. Mercury Collegium.
Yeah. Oh,
We're supposed to be tracking down Dragon's Breath.
Shit, okay.
Did they tell you anything about this? Because you seem awfully surprised to even fucking be here.
Yeah, well, they told me to go find Declan and Camden, so...
Sure.
Hi.
Sorry. I'm Declan.
Yeah.
This is Camden.
This is Camden.
Yeah, no, thanks.
And you are...
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm Mags. It's nice to meet you. I give a kind of slightly judgmental look around your around your flat.
Nice to meet you, too.
So I take it you are expert in...
Fuck.
Yeah, you hear the buzzer ring.
I have to get up again and go over to the buzz in.
Can I say Mags is... kept her like jacket on, is kind of perched on the side of the sofa because I'm wearing like
my one set of work clothes, which I imagine are just like trousers and a shirt, but like I don't have a lot of other options. I don't want to get them dirty.
Yeah, you hear the buzzer go and down at the door.
Yeah, your boy rocks up with a bag full of Greggs.
And Greggs is a pastry shop.
It's a premier bakery.
It's not neither premier nor a bakery.
It's the least premier thing possibly in existence.
Yes.
Imagine a fast food chain that just sold pastries.
And sausage rolls.
That's a kind of pastry.
Yeah, just mainly sausage rolls.
Mainly sausage rolls.
Yeah.
And that everyone, it's so British that everyone got real upset when they were like, oh, we're also going to have a vegan sausage roll. We're not replacing the sausage roll. We're just also adding a sausage roll that happens to be vegan.
They're very popular.
And everyone lost their fucking minds.
Yeah. Just burn it all down.
Yeah. So I rock up with these bad boys of steak bakes in the paper bag. And I bound up the stairs and I'm like, Declan. Looking at the wrong person.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
No, mm-mm.
Oh,
Sorry, are you lost, kid?
Well, look, listen. And I just, it's a slightly wet piece of paper that has your address on it. And I'm just like, what?
No, come on. Why would the Mercury Collegium send a fucking child? What is... Oh, Christ.
What?
I go back behind my desk and try and find some booze.
Oh, Christ. Hang on. I got to see what... you have to roll for this. Hang on.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
I'm not... Maybe I forgot some and left it in the desk.
Just roll something and I'll tell you what to add.
Just the pure 2d6, no modifiers?
Yeah, roll, just roll me a 2d6. Actually, you know what? Roll me 1d6 and we're going to do a luck check.
All right. It's a 5.
You have a half full bottle of your liquor of choice.
Ah, excellent. Breakfast of champions.
I throw a steak bake at you and at you.
Well, hi. Sorry, I don't...
Montgomery... Archibald Barker of the Whitechapel Barkers at your bloody service.
Roll me a lore check, Declan.
Yeah.
Just gonna
ask.
No, I just stare at him.
Okay.
I think that's a plus 2. It is. 2? 2. 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, you know about the Barkers. The Barkers are an incredibly large magical family, and you would have absolutely 1,000% heard of Nana Barker.
Oh, right, you're a Barker.
Well, one of...
My sure, big breed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of us. So just for the listeners at home, I am a seventh son of a seventh son, and my family kind of does that, like... as culture. They're like seven children. We should continue to have seven children until there is a seventh child.
Well, look, hey, there's a real... You've got this in your bloodline. There is a real push to increase the influence of the family.
Yep.
You know? Keep having as many as possible. And the thing is, it's not just the seventh son of the seventh son that happens to have some magical ability.
Yeah.
They might be the best, but they're certainly not the only in the family.
Yeah, it's just like you the seventh son is like the rest of the family has like the low key sort of like around the house magic.
Yeah.
And then the seventh son, they're like tight.
Yeah. They can do the wild shit.
So.
Okay. How old are you?
Old enough. I think he just, you know, he's got that wiry thing of the East End of like, Is this a child who's had a very bad life or an adult who's malnourished? It's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
Right. So I bought you a present, not just a steak bakes. Am I right? And then I lay a bag of drugs on the table.
Is that...
You don't need to. I already tried. So the deal is, listen, so I got the mads, like, immediately.
Right.
And I got, it's like, as far as I can tell, a little bit spacey, a little bit mushroom, a little bit LSD, a little bit, BPM, if you know what I mean. A little bit MGB, a little bit,
CRT.
Round the corner, a little bit up the street.
A little bit VHS.
That's
yeah.
the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And VGA.
and also, I think if I took like four lines, I could probably destroy a bus. You know.
I think during this, Mags has taken out her mobile and just like opened the WhatsApp group that's got like the rest of the pack in it. Yeah. And is like about to message, being like, "What the fuck is
yeah,
happening?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just has a moment of being like, "No, I'm probably in trouble." Okay, and just kind of puts the phone back down. Right. So you're both like, you know about the drugs or something?
Yeah, it's got dragon's breath, it's not been on the scene long.
Some poor knacker tried to sell it to some kids in the estate, and Nan turned him into a whole ass bird, and now he lives at the fucking Tower of London, so.
Oh,
Yeah, that checks out. You don't fuck with Nana Barker.
Right, and... Sorry, I got sent here by a friend. You guys know each other? What's happening?
No, I don't know this child.
Can I roll law to see what I know about Dex?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
Just it's Naomi's neat. Dice are so tiny, and I feel like so we haven't small. Mentioned this.
They're so small.
This episode.
They're like, so small they can fall into the folds of the dice tray and become unreadable. Get bigger dice. You have bigger dice.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many dice in this room. This is a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't be
stopped.
Yeah. You know an 8 with an 8. You know...
No. A 12, baby.
Oh, wow. Declan, what happened?
Declan, what happened? Oh,
yeah.
Right in the first episode.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
No, yeah.
No. Dice tell a story.
Is it 12? It's yeah. like, it's, yeah.
What happened? So,
What made you this way?
Why are you this way?
Why are you goddamn like?
Smells like deer.
Declan Buchanan used to be a P Division detective. And with a 12... Do they?
I don't know the full details, but let's just go a loose idea of the
cool.
basics.
Used to be a P Division detective, and one the story is that he arrested a consort of the Queen of Hyde Park.
And she didn't take it very well.
The consort had murdered a human,
mm-hmm.
And those. Kinds of things are usually solved internally by the Fae, but it wasn't an important human, it was just a guy, and Declan still insisted on arresting this consort. The Queen warned him that there would be consequences, and he didn't seem to care, and and that's why he grows staghorns every morning. And then, like, other stuff, I think there's probably, like, oh, this is also one of the curses. This is also one of the curses. But I feel like you can make up whatever you want
yeah.
about that, and I know yeah. that you will.
yeah. You've also heard on the grapevine that he also grows other appendages elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He has been cursed with eternal bad luck, and that he is now he's marked... by the vampires of London.
Well, okay, so technically, no. But my cousin Charlie is married to this girl who's like, actually, they're not technically married, so he's technically married to someone else, but they like split, and now he's cohabbing with this other girl, and then her brother actually works for P Division, and he was there. When, you know... Anyway, nice hat. I don't think we've met. I'm Monty.
Oh, yeah, Mags. Hi.
Cool. So, drugs? Not as, like, an offer, but
right.
just, like, they're...
Sure.
I think Declan like just stares quite hard at Monty for like a few seconds, and then just picks up the steak bake and starts eating it.
Steak bake is such a good choice as well. Thank you.
Like it's early and I'm hungover.
It's the beans and cheese pasty. That's the breakfast of it. Yeah.
Do I know that that Mags might know? Okay, cool.
That Mags what?
The Mags is a person of the dog force.
No, you don't know.
Cool.
I think Mags is just looking at these two kind of almost polar opposite men, the quite excitable one and the one sadly eating a steak bake right now. Smelling
and like
deer.
It's like bite whiskey. Yeah. bite whiskey.
This is not what she assumed was going to be on the other side of this errand,
no.
But it's probably not even close to the weirdest thing that she's been asked to do.
No,
so
almost certainly.
I think there's like a moment of being a bit like, oh, what the fuck? But quickly, I think she kind of stands up. Yes, I'm Mags. I was told to find Declan here to my friends are worried about this drug that you seem to have, so I guess...
I got a question. Is that what you're wearing? Like, no shade. It's a look, but I don't think it's going to pass muster.
I had a job interview.
Did you beef it?
It was going fine. I had to just come and run an errand. I didn't realize I'd be coming straight here. Or here at all, really.
Right. So... club is kind of early.
It's about 1-2-ish.
So. Better time to go now, I'd say, than when they're actually all. Catacomb Club in London Bridge.
Right, and you think that's...
might be...
related to the drugs?
I can't say for sure that's where they're coming from, but I've heard...
Well, the distributor who was formerly... No, wait, what's the opposite of formerly?
The kid who's now about.
That's the fucking one. See, you and me, we're like, ready fucking
genuinely
go.
Genuinely like, when you click near his head, just, oh, don't do that.
Okay, so, club.
Club?
Okay,
I know the owner, well, I know of the owner. We could have a quiet word.
Yeah. You are, so, I have got various IDs on me, but I think maybe you want to check which one's going to play best.
And there's, like, various fake IDs.
A passport, a driver's license.
Yeah, but some of them have, like, it's like, Ken Diddley from Hawaii. Like, they're like...
Ken Diddley.
They're not good.
Sure, if we want to...
Why don't you finish your breakfast, sir? And I'll take a look at these.
Neck the whiskey. Let's just get moving, shall we?
I'm just staring at one of Monty's more ludicrous, where I assume you're like an old Asian woman or something. Just like...
For sure.
Excellent. So do you want to head down to the Catacomb Club?
Yeah, let's do it.
Excellent. So it is about 2 in the afternoon. So you rock down on the Northern Line from Camden Town down to London Bridge. And you get out on the kind of the north side of the station, mm-hmm. across from the spooky dungeon place.
Oh, yeah.
The London Dungeon.
Yeah, the London Dungeon.
It might be called Nando's something else now. Really wrong, I forget.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was called something else.
It's next to... near the Globe.
Yeah, near the Globe Theater. You see this spooky, like, people all dressed up and like, oh, there's a vampire and there's a werewolf and there's, like, this person, like, screaming, like, on a plinth, like, performance art style, trying to lure tourists into... the London Dungeon.
I thought it was just going to be like the world's worst living statue kind of thing. Won't stop screaming.
Can I? If there's tourists, I would like
heaps.
To relieve them of their
money.
Possessions.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you, first of all, Declan, could you roll me an awareness as you see this happen, to see if you see this happen? Mags, you can roll me that as well. Could I please get a stealth from you, Monty?
Yeah, boy. That is 9 with a hot 2. That's 11.
11?
13.
13. Ooh. And Mags?
12.
Oh.
14 if it's danger sense.
No.
I don't think anyone's really in danger.
I mean,
you spot this happening. You very easily can take money from the tourist, but these two you do spot it.
Sure. I do nothing.
sorry, my bad. A little bit clumsy. No, welcome to London. Welcome to London. Yeah, Queens me gran. Like, I'm just like fucking...
roll me a d6.
Thank you. 3.
You get like 60 quid.
Nice.
I'm looking at this and kind of doing that thing where I'm turning to Declan to be like, should we be outraged? And he just seems so indifferent. Just like, okay. Like the path of least resistance seems to be to just ignore this. So.
Amazing. So you walk up to, you know that there's this kind of very fancy cocktail and coffee restaurant up at the top of the bridge called London Grind. You know that the entrance to the Catacomb Club...
there's looks happening over the mic here. I'm assuming this is an in-joke, which I greatly disapprove of because I'm not in on it.
We just have been to London Grind.
Zach and I fell in love with London Grind.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
We got kicked out there once.
Did we?
I mean, we were the last people there by like an hour.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You know that the entrance to the Catacomb Club is... within London Grind.
Right.
So you, if you want to hop up, you do see that there is a, you do know that there, that you would need to like speak a password of some variety to actually get into the club if you were like just a guest. You'd need to know the password. There is a, what is the word? A hostess kind of waiting to seat people for the actual restaurant. Could you roll me like awareness? Declan? Yeah. Or lore, either, which is better.
12.
She is
12 in awareness rather than lore.
She is a fae.
My favorite.
You can guess, because you're south of the river, this is of the King of Wimbledon Commons Court and not the Queen of Hyde Park's court.
What time of day is it?
It's about 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's not really clubbing o'clock.
No, not really.
I mean, it depends on how hard you party.
It's only clubbing from the previous day.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know the password, I'm guessing.
Nope.
But I do know the name of the guy who runs the place.
Yeah, you do.
I guess we'll just chance it. I'll walk up to this woman that I can tell is mm-hmm. Faye, so involved.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, we're here to see Vance. Is he in?
Vance, I don't think there's anyone here that's worked here or guests. Is it guest diner with us?
You mean I put £30 on the hostess stand, just sort of slide it.
Stop you. Just slide it back.
Pip and I just held hands for the first time. Yeah. That was beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's not insult the nice lady.
I mean, I'm not. I've got 60, but that's really where I tap out.
I'm sorry. I would love to take your money, but I don't know anyone called Vance. And if you're meeting someone who's having coffee with us, they might be around. You recognize them? Feel free to have a look around. But
we're looking for a place.
Yes.
That's got a feline and a grave in it, and you can do your hair with it. You picking up what I'm putting down?
Oh, sorry.
Catacomb?
You got it, yeah.
I think there are churches with graveyards. Do you want to sit down and have coffee?
We'll have some coffees. Yeah, thank you, sorry.
Great, table for 3?
Yes, please.
Fabulous.
Come on.
And she sees you two one of the window seats.
I'll have a hot chocolate, thanks. I don't.
One hot chocolate and anything else?
I look up and try and see if I can see on the board the cheapest drink.
Well, you know that the cheapest drink they've got is a tap water.
I mean,
£12.
short of that is a mug of tea.
Yeah, just a tea.
All right.
It's a black coffee.
Black coffee, all right. Be right over, all right? Thank you.
And she kind of twirls away.
All right, so that could have gone better. I thought that name would get us through the door unless she's just gone off now to tell him there's people here asking for him.
I just, look, like it looked like she wasn't going to let us in. Look, maybe we can sit here and, you know, see if anyone else goes in and ask him how to do that.
Monty has left the table while this conversation has been happening.
What are you doing?
I put that proposal out, look to my colleagues and realize that there's minus one. Oh, no.
I've got fucking Madge out the wazoo. I assume that there'll be some sort of like anti-pleb control on this club.
Yeah, one would assume. Yeah. If you know where the entrance is.
I'm looking for anti-pleb control. I'm just sort of doing a mosey around.
Yeah, have a mosey round. Roll me an awareness. Or lore, actually, lore.
Good, 12.
Yeah, you do get the sense of an anti-magic kind of field around the whole building to kind of quell any kind of brute force attack into the place. You do get stronger senses of stronger enchantments and magic that are outside of this anti-magic field from the back of the building. But before you can go to investigate that, the hostess, who is now carrying your drinks and comes and grabs you,
"I've got your hot chocolate, darling."
And she kind of,
"All right, darling."
She kind of puts her hand on the small of your back and gently guides you to the table.
"Listen, I know I offered you £30, but if you want to touch my body, that's extra, baby." And I do a.
"My apologies. I did not intend to touch you in a way you did not want. Have a lovely hot chocolate and rejoin your colleagues." Yes.
I pick up the hot chocolate and I would like to do a two-step, the way that she doesn't want me to go.
Okay, that's fine. You can go.
Yeah, I'm just fucking. I'm like.
You have your hot chocolate.
Yeah, I'm taking my hot chocolate. It's got the whipped cream and the little marshmallows
on
top.
Yeah.
I'd like to leave with a white moustache.
Yeah, you take a sip of your hot chocolate.
It's so hot.
Back at the table, the waitress
thanks,
arrives.
Thanks, babe.
Your friend is wandering about here. Two drinks, enjoy. Tea and a coffee.
Thanks. I look at Declan with the look that is now grown usual of, "Should we do something about Monty?"
"I mean, you wanted to see what happened. Let's see what happens."
"Great.
Just watch him go."
"I'm so ready." You know that gif where the guy who's pretending to be the president sits down and then he's like, "Whoa!" and he pushes the water over and then darts the other way? Yeah, that's what I want to...
No.
It's really good. No. So my intention is...
Can you describe this without using GIFs?
Yeah.
Tell me what's actually happening. Not which GIF it resembles.
No, I can't.
I'm sort of sashaying with my hot chocolate to the back.
Okay.
I want to find like a precarious set of glasses, maybe a bin.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I would just like to like donkey kick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Create a clatter and a thing, yep. And then be like, "Guys, a distraction!" And then dart into where I think the things are.
Absolutely.
Ideally, dragging the others with me by implication alone.
Roll me...
Idiot?
Yeah, what is the idiot roll? Let's say...
Athletics?
Yeah, let's say athletics.
7.
You fall hard on your ass as you try to knock a bin. You overextend and then your leg just whoops up like you've slipped on a goddamn fucking banana peel.
Great.
And you fall on your asses and hot the waitress chocolate. Is just and the hot chocolate everywhere. What are you two doing as you're observing this?
Just sitting blank faced drinking a coffee.
Yeah.
So I just sit there, just look from the state of Monty to Declan to Monty, to Declan, and I just quietly drink my tea.
You all sit there as this calamity ensues, and your vision starts to go blurry for a moment. As you realize, Declan, what you've just done is walked into a phase den and drank their offerings.
Yeah, on second thoughts, that was pretty stupid.
Wait, sorry, what?
And you all pass out as your vision begins to swirl and dance with bright sugar plum colors. And we will find out what happens to our unconscious party next time on Realms of Peril and Glory. Thank you very much.
We done goofed.
Can I get everyone's plugs, please, starting counterclockwise, Liz, Pip, to Naomi.
Hi, you can follow me on socials at Liz X Campbell. That's Liz, the letter X Campbell.
Hi, I'm Pip, and you can find me at Pip_Gladwin on Twitter, and yep.
Hi, I was Naomi, and you can find me at Naomi Thinks It all over the internet, or you can find my show at The Kilder.
Amazing. You can support the show by heading over to patreon.com/lightandtragic. It's the absolute best way to support us. And of course, you can follow us on the social medias at RealmsPod everywhere. That's RealmsPod. You can follow myself personally on Twitter and Instagram at ZackFG. That is ZackFG. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
So, if I remember right, the inventory tag was on the underside. I think it was a white sticker.
Yeah, that's what I remember too. But...
what?
It's not here.
From Studio 5705.
I mean, it's not on here anywhere now.
A family mystery about a strange letter.
That's weird.
Yeah.
From an impossible sender.
Has anyone else had the drone with them since you grabbed it?
Yeah.
And secrets hidden in the ground.
I wonder why they'd want the sticker.
Yeah, me too.
DiscoverPods.com calls Dirt an audio drama. One of those audio dramas that creates a whole world for the reader through beautifully original music and narrative performances that feel genuine and real. And TInTheSahara.com gushes, the soundscaped atmosphere created throughout the series is flawless. You can binge seasons 1 and 2 of Dirt right now. And stay tuned for season 3, sometime in 2022. Just search for Dirt, an audio drama, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, Antonia, can I call you back? I need to check a couple of things real quick.
Sure. Everything okay?